Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hamas was never interested in a humanitarian pause. They're simply looking for a halt in the Israeli attacks to regroup their strength and get their military ready, prepared for the next acts of terrorism against Israel. Hamas benefits from this hostage deal far more than Israel, using the ceasefire to their advantage in more ways than we know. When fighting eventually resumes, the radical left will fall for Hamas's media manipulation to blame Israel, falsely, for accusing them of not having a lawful right to eliminate Hamas. This is the Iranian Ring of Fire strategy playing out. We don't know exactly what will happen, but this is all part of a much larger effort. It's not just Israel versus Hamas. It's a war against one of America's closest allies, Israel, coordinated by one of our worst enemies, Iran. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What you been up to this week, Skip?
Oh, Colonel, I have just been very, very busy. You know, we're launching the Home Defense Show, you know, syndication this weekend. That's going well. Doing interviews like crazy. Of course, Frontlines of Freedom, that's always fun. And writing book. Boy, homeschooling the kids. Life is good and life is fun, and I'm very happy.
Well, you know, that's a good thing. Personally, I need to be productive much of the time in order to feel happy. So I think we're the same way.
No, just do what your wife tells you to. That's all you got to do, Denny. That's the secret.
Life is happy then. Here's what we have for you today on News and Comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss our military's climate change and DEI crisis. They're wonderful. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, General Jerry Boykin will discuss some of our nation's biggest challenges. Then Craig Rucker will discuss climatology and the UN's latest meetings on climate change. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Army-Navy game, Hoo-Wah. And Marines Gil and Skip will discuss our border and a book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Before I start there, here's my joke for the week. A lieutenant walked up to a sergeant who was jumping up and down on top of a manhole, saying the number 3 after every jump. The lieutenant yelled, "What are you doing, Sergeant?" "Nothing, sir, just seeing how high I can jump while on this manhole." The lieutenant shook his head and said, "Well, that's not hard at all. Get out of the way. Let me show you how to do it." The sergeant moved, and the lieutenant jumped really high in the air. As he did, the sergeant removed the manhole cover, and the lieutenant fell down into it. Then the sergeant replaced the cover and started jumping up again, this time saying, 4, 4, 4. That makes sense.
I really like that one, Colonel. That's awesome. You could probably change that around. You could say, you know, it was a sergeant who fell down the manhole too, but, you know, sergeants are much too smart for the fall for that.
Or I could add an Army guy getting Marines to jump. we better not go there. Okay.
Never.
Take us to the news, Skip.
All right, Colonel. The Justice Department said it has filed war crime charges against 4 members of the Russian military accused of abducting and torturing an American during the invasion of Ukraine. The case marks the first prosecution against Russians in connection with atrocities during their war against Ukraine and is the first war crimes case involving the victimization of an American. Quote, "The Justice Department and the American people have a long memory," Attorney General Merrick Garland said in announcing the case. "We will not forget the atrocities in Ukraine, and we will never stop working to bring those responsible to justice," unquote. The 4 Russians are identified as members of the Russian Armed Forces or its proxy units. 2 of them are described as senior officers. None are in custody. The Russians are accused of kidnapping the American from his home in a Ukrainian village in 2022. He was beaten and interrogated while being held for 10 days at a Russian military compound before eventually being evacuated with his wife, who is Ukrainian. The American told federal agents who had traveled to Ukraine last year as part of an investigation that the Russian soldiers had abducted him, stripped him naked, pointed a gun at his head, and badly beaten him. Quote, The evidence gathered by our agents speaks to the brutality, criminality, and depravity of Russia's invasion, Mayorkas said.
It will be interesting to see what Russia's response to this is. I don't doubt that they're guilty of the abuse, but neither do I doubt that they do this all the time, so it's no big deal to them. Stay tuned.
And the Pentagon is helping set up a maritime task force among allied nations to protect merchant shipping in the Red Sea following a series of Houthi missile attacks. Pentagon Press Secretary Brigadier General Pat Ryder said that a similar task force had already been formed, and how the new task force might differ was not immediately clear. Quote, I would highlight we already have the framework in place to enable such a task force to the Combined Maritime Task Force, Ryder said, referring to an international coalition of 39 nations that was originally stood up in 2001 to help with counterterrorism and counter-piracy efforts in the waters off the Middle East. The Combined Maritime Forces operate five separate task forces in the region, including Combined Task Force 153, which has focused on Red Sea maritime security since 2022.
This is an incredibly appropriate response. There's no shortage of bad guys in the Middle East. Working with other nations in this area is a great way to go.
And our Navy plans to begin arming submarines next year with ship-targeting versions of the widely used Tomahawk missile, part of Washington's push to ramp up military capabilities to challenge Chinese maritime forces, particularly around Taiwan. The maritime strike version of the Tomahawk, the RTX Corporation missile traditionally used as a ground attack weapon, will be fielded after October 1, 2024. The latest models will be modified with a new guidance system enabling them to engage a mobile target at sea. Fielding the new version of the Tomahawk, which made its battlefield debut in the early hours of the 1991 Persian Gulf War in Iraq, would add to a growing U.S. arsenal of ship attack missiles to complement submarine-launched torpedoes intended to counter China's numerically superior fleet. While the Navy also plans to start fielding the weapons on surface vessels, those are more vulnerable to China's land and sea-based anti-ship arsenal.
Good move. I just hope the war for Taiwan will wait for these missiles to be deployed. I feel very certain that China will attack Taiwan, but I have no idea when.
And dressed in borrowed camouflage fatigues, they fumbled with their ammunition belts and K2 assault rifles. Some had white hair and a slow, shuffling gait. Their average age was 63, the oldest 75. It was the most unconventional batch of trainees that South Korea's Seiko Reserve Forces Training Center had ever seen. And Lieutenant Colonel Hwang Hin-suk received them with a strained smile, desperately hoping that none of them would get hurt. Excluding the two women in the group, most of these retirees or near retirees had undergone South Korea's compulsory military service in their youth, but the decades of rust were showing. Quote, I don't remember the rifles being so heavy, said a 62-year-old. As a young conscript four decades ago, the man was a machine gunner stationed near the border with North Korea. But today, as the sticker pasted to his right breast indicated, he serves in the Senior Army. Founded last summer by a group of civilians with no affiliation with the military, the Senior Army, which currently has around 500 members, is part senior citizens, social club, and part volunteer organization. But it also has more profound ambitions as a solution to the effects of South Korea's dismal fertility rate, which, as the lowest in the world, has spurred fears that the military will soon struggle to fill its ranks. With the Senior Army assembled behind him in military formation, co-founder Cho Young Jing, a 62-year-old university politics professor, recited the group's oath. In light of the country's population crisis, we will prepare ourselves so that we may one day be of service in the nation's military reserves.
That's an interesting and creative solution to the population crisis. I think the military would be better off employing these guys in non-close combat positions, you know, flying desks and stuff like that, freeing up those healthy youngsters to go to the front. But an interesting group. And that's the news for today. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Please check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel that will enjoy some warrant wisdom. and we'll talk with General Jerry Boykin. At ease, troops, take a break.
As veterans, we at Concerned Veterans for America know defending freedom comes at a high cost. Our lawmakers should consider that cost when they send troops to war.
If wars don't serve our national interest, our brave men and women shouldn't be deployed into harm's way. Our troops should not be in combat because Congress doesn't want to make tough decisions about military engagement.
Find out how you can join the movement to end our nation's endless wars at cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, your front door is the number one preferred entry point for home invaders. On average, it takes 5 seconds to break down your solid steel security door. To prevent this, reinforce your door frame by doubling the 2x4s and by using longer, case-hardened screws to attach the hinges to the door frame. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are information and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I'm 82 years old. In my lifetime, the climate has never stopped changing. Overall, though, the changes haven't changed. I remember in the 80s, the big deal was the coming ice age. Now we're warned that global warming, and our military has been told that climate change is our biggest challenge. For many, climate change has become a pagan religion with cult-like followers everywhere. Children are being indoctrinated in schools to believe that they'll die soon if we don't take drastic steps to change the climate. This paranoia is pushed by the leftist globalists who use climate change fear as a tool to unite nations into a worldwide program, which naturally funnels into a justification for a one-world government, including the World Health Organization and the United Nations. This cult-like movement has sunk deep roots into our education system and our government. It's especially dangerous when it's being forced on our military, where climate change is called a crisis and being identified as a national security threat. Our defense secretary called climate crisis an existential threat. Yeah, it's not China, it's the climate. A large, very costly bureaucracy has developed within the Pentagon to develop a strategy, plans, and policies to deal with the climate crisis and the national security threat. However, they didn't define what makes climate a crisis. We have had a military since 1775, which has trained, operated, and fought in all kinds of extreme climate conditions around the world, beginning at Valley Forge during that terrible winter. What suddenly constitutes an existential climate crisis? Answer, politics. If climate change is indeed a crisis and a threat to national security, then shouldn't we be marshaling military forces to combat the threat? Well, clearly that's not possible. The climate has been changing in fairly predictable cycles for thousands of years and will continue to do that with or without mankind. The Pentagon's plans for adapting to climate change, which we've done successfully for centuries, the current ones are nonsense. The big push is the reduction of fossil fuel in favor of electricity, which at best will have only a minuscule effect on the climate, if you believe real science, and will be a disaster on the battlefield. How do you recharge a tank on the battlefield or an airplane in the air? Climate change has a common denominator with diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. The military top leadership supports DEI and has also adopted the climate change crisis mantra. Neither is in any way real science or good for our nation or our military. DEI is a spin-off of critical race theory, CRT, which is rooted in Marxism. It divides people into identity groups based mostly on race, and then it pits them against each other based on the oppressors versus the oppressed identity groups. By design, DEI is divisive. Those who don't recognize that simply haven't studied the issue, opting instead to believe a made-up narrative invented by academics who not only have never served our nation, but whose very ideologies are antithetical to the concept of team cohesion, which is based on total trust and confidence in each other, the core component to a strong fighting force. As we've discussed before, the top military leadership has appointed the DEI political agenda and is actively pushing it down the throats of the people in the ranks as it being a virtuous thing, The same holds true for the climate crisis being proclaimed as a national security threat. The climate change plans in the Pentagon's documents apparently are designed to appease climate activists and politicians. The top DOD leadership is enforcing social agendas that have nothing to do with warfighting readiness. In fact, they harm it by taking our eye off the ball. Our military is to fight and win our nation's wars. If you ask our senior officers, is wokeness affecting recruiting, or is DEI harmful to unity and teamwork, or if the COVID shot was illegal or is illegal, the answer will commonly be a distortion of the truth or a falsehood. The result is damaged integrity today among many senior officers, which can be traced back to one source, politics. This politically correct influence began in earnest in 2008 and has ballooned under the current administration. It is the politically driven social programs that put our military leaders into an integrity box. If they tell the truth, their careers are ended. Therefore, many jeopardize their integrity and make statements and take actions in support of things like DEI, which has a false theme. That is, diversity is our strength. Yeah, right. Actually, diversity is our strength, but it's diversity of thought that is able to be freely expressed, not diversity of gender, race, or gender preference, or whatever that is. So when the administration politics are forced onto our military, the first and most damaging casualty is often personal integrity. When senior officers know they won't be promoted or selected for key positions unless they support harmful PC agendas, and when they do, their integrity is damaged. How do these senior leaders who place value on integrity rationalize such an action? Well, those who adopt the PC agenda apparently convince themselves that it's the right thing to do based on the perceived loyalty to the president, seemingly over their loyalty to the Constitution. Others appear to go along to get along, thinking they can stay within the system and make a difference. The greatest damage in all this PC infusion in our military is warfighting readiness. Every social engineer program does serious harm to warfighting. Our military must get back to its roots with equal opportunity for all and meritocracy to guide on how people are treated. Putting service members into various categories of identity groups like race and labeling some as oppressors and others as oppressed is toxic. It's toxic to the warrior ethos, which is based on total trust and confidence in each other. It's time to eliminate the massive bureaucracies costing untold billions of bucks that are largely staffed by civilians that have grown and become power-based for social programs like DEI, climate change, and that stuff. It's time to again hold commanders responsible for the health, morale, and welfare of their personnel without PC bureaucratic organizations dictating to the commanders how they treat their people. We must take the extreme politics out of the military. Let our military do what it does best, train as one colorblind, meritocracy, homogeneous fighting team that fight and win our nation's wars. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, it was no secret while I was in the Coast Guard that the aging Beretta M9 pistol just wasn't cutting it any longer. So in 2006, the Coast Guard started transitioning to the 40mm Sig Sauer P229, which was a great change, but it did cause some issues for our teams getting support in the Middle East as the Army was still using the M9 pistol. Now, after nearly 20 years with the Sig, the Coast Guard has begun transitioning to the Glock G19 Gen 5 9mm pistol. This news comes 2 years after Sig Sauer claimed that the Coast Guard, along with every other branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, planned on placing orders for the Army's new M18 modular handgun system. The Army had awarded Sig Sauer a contract worth up to $580 million in January of 2017, with a plan to deliver up to 195,000 guns. Now, it's unclear why the Coast Guard opted to adopt the Glock Gen 5 over the new Army M18. The Coast Guard, which of course in peacetime operates under the Department of Homeland Security, used the existing Customs and Border Patrol contract to acquire the new Glock pistols. And according to Glock, the decision of Customs and Border Patrol to go with Glock was based on extensive solicitation process, which included independent testing by the Institute of Justice Laboratories, comprehensive field evaluations, and direct input from over 16,000 Customs and Border Patrol law enforcement personnel. Now, the Coast Guard started rolling out the new Glock pistols in August of this year, and so far has fielded over 700 pistols. The new pistol and ammunition, keeping in mind they're transitioning from 40 cal to 9 millimeter, is going to align the service with the Department of Homeland Security partners, such as Customs, Border Patrol, and the Secret Service. The Coast Guard has stated that the new pistol will increase shooter comfort and performance, and they've already seen higher qualification rates with the new weapon. You know, the new Glock should be fully rolled out to the entire Coast Guard by mid-2024. I have been a Glock fan for years, and I expect this is going to be a very positive change for the Coast Guard overall. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General Jerry Boykin, then we'll discuss climatology with Craig Ruckner. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show General Jerry Boykin. The general is currently the executive vice president of the Family Research Council. He was our deputy undersecretary of defense for intelligence. During his 36-year career in the military, he spent 13 years in the Delta Force and was involved in numerous high-profile missions, including the 1980 Iran hostage rescue attempt, the 1992 hunt for Pablo Escobar in Colombia, and the Black Hawk Down incident in Mogadishu, Somalia. The general's not lived a boring life. Welcome, General. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Denny. It's a privilege to be on your program.
General, take a minute and talk about your time in uniform. We've sort of overviewed it, but I'm sure I missed a few things. Give us a little overview.
Well, I came into the military out of Virginia Tech, where I was recruited to play football and commissioned right out of there. And I went to a heavy armor unit first, and then I went over to Vietnam and Korea, both. And in the next step, though, really was my initial placement into special operations, where I was there when they founded the 1st Ranger Battalion, and I was part of that. And then I for the most part, I stayed in the SOF community, Delta Force, Rangers. I commanded all of the Army Special Forces, the Green Berets, and I ran the school for the Army, the Special Warfare Center, and ultimately, I worked for George Bush as his Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence.
Yes, sir. So again, as I said before, you weren't bored.
I wasn't bored, and as one person that did an MRI on me said, "You look like you have lived a tough life." And I said, "It was tough, but I sure enjoyed it."
You know, who wants to be bored? I mean, I got to be doing something productive, and I know you're the same way.
Yeah.
Well, the world's a mess, to make an understatement, and probably the biggest thing, at least in the news right now, and certainly it's important to me, is what Israel's going through. Yeah.
it absolutely floors me that any human beings alive today could say it's okay to take hostages, it's okay to torture people, it's okay to attack innocent civilians. How can anybody say that's okay, regardless of who you're talking about?
Well, my response to that is it's diabolical. These people who are doing this, burning babies while their mothers were forced to watch. I don't know that I have heard of anything that is more diabolical than that. And these people are motivated and driven by, I think, right out of the pits of hell.
There is no other explanation. So, yes, sir, I agree. And while Israel is not a perfect nation, there are no perfect anybodies anywhere this side of the Lord. But they're a legitimate nation. They were established with the approval of the United Nations and everybody else. They are defending themselves against terrorists. And I'm concerned in Gaza, the people in Gaza seem to like Hamas. And now they're innocent civilians that Israel is abusing. That's a confusing situation to me. But to me, it goes back to, if you let bad guys in and you go to schools that teach you to kill all Jews, you're not an innocent civilian. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You are not an innocent civilian. You know, there's an infrastructure behind every criminal or terrorist organization, and those people may not be out killing people, but they're just as guilty as everybody else. And that's what Hamas has got now. Hamas has these people that don't get out and blow things up, but they provide infrastructure support to the Hamas leadership. And I cannot understand, to save me, as to how there's so many Americans that have no idea of who Israel is or how they became a nation, yet at the same time, they are out protesting in support of Hamas. And that is something that I never thought I would see in America.
Yes, sir. It is shocking beyond belief. And, you know, if Canada had attacked our nation the way Hamas recently attacked Israel, we would not be saying, oh, just let's have peace and let's not. If you look at the way we've responded when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, when the British, you know, we've fought, every other nation I know has fought back about against things like, why wouldn't Israel?
Yeah, well, Israel, as has been said, has a right to defend itself. But I would encourage, and I just did a thing on this. People need to go back and study the creation of the nation of Israel. And they'll find out that there were incredibly important meetings, documents, treaties, whatever you want to call them, that sanctioned the Israelis to become a nation. And from the very day that they declared sovereignty, they have been at war. And it hasn't ceased. There have been times that were worse than others, like now. But they are very much a legitimate nation. And you know, you can go to the biblical side of this, and you know, this is covenant land. And all you Christians that are protesting against Israel, or you're into this replacement theology, I want to give you urge you to go back and look at what the Bible says about Israel. Because it says that God says, I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. And that's pretty straightforward to me.
It is. You know, that's, even an infantryman like me could understand that. And, you know, so yes, both legally, the treaties and everything that establish Israel, and biblically, Israel is there legitimately, legally, and because God wants them there. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but fighting against God doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And if you look at it, on the 14th of April, 1948, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Tel Aviv, when they declared sovereignty, that was part of the end times fulfillment. And I'm not going to get into prophecy and all that, but I'm just say this. That was the beginning. I don't think that that was everything. I think that was the beginning as he called them home from the north and the south and the east and the west back to their land. And then the Bible also says they will never be ejected from there again. They will never be put out of that nation now.
Yes, sir. Okay. So we certainly see eye to eye on Israel, and I certainly hope our nation stands with Israel as opposed to what they seem to be doing now is pushing them to stop defending themselves.
Yeah, and I don't consider trying to twist their arms for ceasefires as supporting Israel.
No, sir. It's certainly supporting Hamas. That's what they need. Hey, there's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and General Boykin will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, usually once a week. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Jerry Boykin. General, our nation today, including our military, is certainly by leadership headed to be very woke. We've got to be politically correct. We've got to use the right pronouns. We're concerned about racism. We're not concerned about selecting people by merit or ability. That's incredibly crazy. It's certainly unlike the Army I was in when I served there. But it really speaks to, if we can't get it stopped and turned, and I don't know how we do that, our military is going to be a mess going into the future, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Denny, and I'm very, very worried about it. I've never been more concerned about our military than I am today. And listen, we need leadership in this Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Space Force, Coast Guard. We need leadership in them, and we don't have leadership. And what we're seeing now is we're seeing people that are really good in talking about those things that are emphasized in the DEI programs or the woke programs, but they're much more attuned to what the expectations are there than they are with the expectations of being able to put your boots on, grab your rifle, and go into combat and win.
Yes, sir. I can barely remember the guys that I served in combat with, who was what, well, I don't know what gender they all were, their race or their, any kind of accent they had in their speaking or anything like that. They were just good soldiers. And the better ones were the leaders and the other ones followed the leaders. Were there some exceptions? Yes, but they were rare and they were exceptions.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine this.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look back on our military, I'll say the Army to start with, and you look at how our Army trained several years ago and what they emphasized, you won't see that in the Army today. I think the Special Forces may be the last bastion of that kind of mentality, although even they have been infiltrated because they had a company commander that was transgender in the Special Forces. And how can you select people for the military just based on their gender or what they think their gender is? How can you base selection of those people on that? Because it contributes nothing to the ability to be able to win the nation's wars.
Our policy needs to be that we're getting combat ready and ready to fight.
Douglas MacArthur, when he stood up in the West Point mess hall and said, your mission remains fixed, determined, inviolable. It's to win the nation's wars. That has not changed. What has changed is our approach, what we think is going to make us better fighting men and women. And that is so wrong.
Yes, sir. And one of my national heroes, I don't even remember her name right now, but she's a young lady who is a swimmer who got beat out by a masculine guy who claimed to be a woman. And finally, she's standing up for the fact that women's sports should be for women.
Riley Gaines.
Yes. And she makes a points that are pretty easy. Men's bodies are different than women's.
Yep.
It's muscle mass and bone density and everything else. And it is true that men and women are different and can't compete. And does that mean that there's no woman could ever do anything? No, but as a general rule, they can't. And in wars, we need people we can draw on. And so this mixture of this is not contributing to combat readiness. I guess that's where I'm going.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this all started back under Obama.
Yes,
he was the one at the helm, and this all would have been completed if he had stayed or if Biden had not come along and ultimately have taken control of things. But that 4-year gap that we had with Trump was a good stabilizer for our military because he knocked out a lot of the nonsense in our military. But then along comes Biden, and he goes back to, within days, he goes back to a lot of policies that were not present during Donald Trump's time. And, you know, if I can just say this before we leave here, if you go back to 2016, there were two Navy patrol boats commanded by a naval officer from the Naval Academy that were off the coast of Iran, and they were taken prisoner. Now, they were not in Iranian waters. That, with the GPS systems they got, they don't make that kind of mistake. But they were captured by the Iranians, and within an hour, they were looking into the cameras and saying, this is all our fault, and we want to apologize to the Iranians. Now, compare that to some of your Vietnam friends that were taken by the North Vietnamese. And in fact, if you think about one of them who wound up being a senator from the state of Alabama, he was beaten almost to death because he would not make a statement on tape for them. And he just said, when they said, what do you think of your nation's policies? And he just stood and said, I don't know what my nation's policies are anymore, but I support them. And they beat him mercilessly. But that guy had been trained into what he was allowed to do, the code of conduct, as opposed to the people in those two boats that were taken. They didn't get that code of conduct training. And the reason they didn't was because the requirements, these DEI requirements that everybody had to go through, it was mandatory. They spent their time doing this DEI stuff instead of doing what might save their lives in combat. And that kind of nonsense is still going on today. And every young man or woman that dies in combat in the future, we need to point right back to the Biden administration and just say to them, you're responsible because you didn't train these people right before they went into combat.
Yes, sir. And the kids growing up under this environment are going to be the privates and corporals and sergeants of the next military generation. And will they even believe a briefing on how to behave in combat if it's contrary to the culture that they grew up in? Much less fight for it, much less die for it.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, no enemy on that battlefield is going to care whether you use his right pronoun or not. What he cares about is who's going to win this battle between me and you.
And that is it. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Jerry Boykin. General, we got a couple of minutes. What final thoughts would you like to give to our listeners for what we can be doing to stand up for our nation today?
Get to know who your congressman is, both the House and the Senate, and be active with them in terms of telling them what you think they're missing or what they're doing wrong. And it does have an impact on them, I can assure you. I work right here on the Hill almost. So I would do that. The other thing I would do, though, is get engaged in the political process. And that starts with voting. And make sure you understand that there's probably no greater responsibility that our president has than being the commander-in-chief. And he will determine the direction of our military. And that's what I'm saying is we've got to get the right person, man or woman. It doesn't matter to me, as long as that person understands what the military is for and is committed to making sure the military has what it needs. Vote right.
Yes, sir. I taught American government for a bunch of years, and I told my students that the one thing about congressmen is that they're really bad at reading minds. If you don't communicate with them, they don't know what you want. And if you don't stay in touch with them, you're not holding them accountable. And that's what, as good citizens, we need to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's a good way to put it, too.
And yes, sir, the next president certainly will, as a commander-in-chief, probably decide whether our military becomes effective again and remains effective.
Right. And that's a very difficult task, especially when you got 4 years of Marxist propaganda and racist propaganda that's being shoved down their throats, and it contributes nothing.
Nothing positive, sir. It contributes a lot of negative.
Yeah, and that'll be hard to undo. You got to turn that around, which means the next group of senior leaders got to be people that are willing to lay their stars on the table for the good of the country and say, Mr. President, I cannot follow these orders. Therefore, I'll resign and I will go to the press to make sure they understand why.
Yes, sir. And I have lost respect for the generals and admirals who could have, should have, and didn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, General Boykin. Thank you for your excellent comments, for your sharing of real values, for your service to our nation. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Denny, and thanks.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing climate with Craig Rucker. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Army-Navy's football game, and Marines Gil and Skip will discuss the border and books. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillen on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Grab some protein. Rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face. Send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.